This is a session for Allison, recorded on February 27, copyright 2010, New Grand View Incorporated, all rights reserved, and we're starting at 5:26 p.m. Hawaii time.
Hello, Ion. I'm so glad to be here with you.
Yes, indeed.
I have thought about questions for quite a while now, and every time I asked one, I was listening to one of your past broadcasts, and I would get the answer.
Yes, wonderful.
So yeah, it is wonderful. And so in my immediate moment here, as we are in the now, I told JW that you probably already know that my sweet cat has brought in a live mouse for me to be entertained with while I'm doing this interview, which is under my feet. And they're running around, so I guess this is the path to my greatest joy to watch this little maze.
Sure.
Does it mean anything?
Well, sure. This will become a theme. You've heard the conversation of someone having a cat and mouse game.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now you have a live one.
And it does seem to be constant. I am a very happy, aware creator of my experience.
Yes,
I was
indeed. And it's not without contrast, but when you find yourself in contrast, you somehow start looking of the simplest, easiest, best way to describe it is, now, what is it I'm thinking about you, contrast, that's making me feel less than? Or how could I bring this particular degree of contrast into my knowing to bring me to a new, happier place?
That is it. That is it. I'm gifted already. So I wrote, I felt like I was at a class. I actually told Bob I felt like I was going to a birthday party and they were going to have a genie where I could rub the lamp. So I had to think of my question.
No, it's great fun because when you're in this place, here's what's happening. Since you're asking, here's what's happening. You have a non-physical, and it's this resonance that you've had with words that we've had in the past and or broadcast and podcast and rodcast and all those things. What's happening is that it sort of cleared out all the clutter. So now you get to take us to brand new fun places that we've never, ever, 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 ever one time ever been before.
Mm.
So the freeing up of your capacitors, of limitations, of having questions that were unanswered, open you to the new dynamic that you can take, go to places that no human has boldly gone before.
And yes. And you mentioned words.
Yeah.
And that was a huge, this is a huge portion of me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny, again, talking to you, I'm like, well, I don't really need to say it, do I? Because you got all that.
Really not.
Yeah.
It sure helps your recording when you're listening to it later.
I guess.
Wait a minute,
okay.
Where did they get that? Wait a minute, they didn't put that on the tape. They stuck this on the tape. They didn't ask that, and there it is. But it does. Many times you'll find that's how your life flows, and you're the poster child for happy already anyway, so, you know, this gets to be fun.
Yes, and words are fun, and words are what I have co-created a business, and I'm learning a new word for that. Co-creating a cooperative of how I get to live my daily life, and it's based on words having being empowered in our lives. And having an effect on how we walk through our lives, individually and collectively.
So then you would want to be known as Optimus Tactilian.
Oh, I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Optimus Tactilian.
Yes.
Nice. Okay.
And just be careful not to dangle the participles and you'll be okay.
Okay, so as I have walked through this, and
well, we would say more like a brisk jog rather than a walk.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Create your reality. Your words create your reality. Your then, and your intentions create your reality.
Now wait. Now let's This is so much fun. Your words direct and clean up your thoughts. Your words are what set the place markers of what you said. Your words are the things that are the outline of your strategy, of your motivation of creation.
Oh, I love that, because I was just ready to throw them out. I was starting to feel like telepathy is on its way, and I keep searching for words for things that I want to tell someone or say, and they're not there anymore.
Yes, that's exactly correct, because your beingness has outgrown the limitations of the words.
Yes.
We're used to with oh, Lord, don't get Bob started. Well, when they started this printing press business, all that did was align everyone to understand the meaning of the words and phraseologies that were being exhibited. And so that's the best humans had to draw from. And rather than helping by making a cohesive, linear, conceptual dynamic, what ended up happening was is it limited everyone's perception to only those in, well, sometimes by rote, or maybe at the very best extemporaneously, or maybe an oral interpretation of the thought processes and patterns that have been laid out heretofore so far, which is what got Marshall McLuhan all revved up and all these problems and James Joyce's wonderful work of bibbly squibbly boo that everybody's supposed to understand. Well, it brought out how silly it actually was that you can't think beyond your thoughts. And that's the point. You are now no longer able to think beyond your thoughts. Up until then, you could always go by rote and find the word that best matched up with the feeling or the ideology that you were trying to display.
Exactly, which then creates you to not live in the now.
There is only now, but you don't have to live there. Good.
Okay.
That's new, Bob. First time out of the chute. Gosh, good. You may have set some records here. Now we're getting warmed up. Let's go.
Okay. So, you just explained for me why I'm thinking that way about the words.
Sure.
Does it have anything also to do that we are moving into a telepathic... Moving into is an interesting word.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe I'll back up. One of my other questions was going to be, if you could assist me in understanding the no time aspect, which I have embraced fully. I have a job where I don't have to get there at any time. I've created my world so that time really doesn't exist for me.
Yes, sometimes you have to check with others to see how you're doing with it.
I do, yes. What day is it? What time is it? Okay. And with that understood, I also was listening to some of the past interviews with you, and I'm trying to assimilate into my being the understanding of when you talk about something being in the future.
Yes.
How does that... Are you trying to use words that I would understand, we would understand... Or is it that, because the way I picture life is stacked up on each other, kind of these dimensions, but I guess the question, if I hone it down, again, could you assist me in understanding no time and the future being in the same sense?
Gotcha. In the same sense. It may be compound, but it'll be the same sense, we promise.
Oh, no,
They accuse us of doing whole books in the form of one sentence and a half a paragraph, and it's only 144 chapters, but that's okay. It seems to work itself out, or they'll work on it, and then there'll be 3,000 words and two sentences that they want to use because it's ahead of the game of knowing that the human creator can pick up on and embrace to find the place that they thought they wanted to be that they didn't know because they didn't know that place because they'd never been taken to that place before. So then it became a little nonsensical.
Got it.
From a rhetorical standpoint, you see. But now, here we go. We would ask some questions, and you've heard some of these, but but when did time begin?
I don't know. When I created
Nobody
it.
Does. Nobody
when I,
does.
Okay.
That's the point.
Uh-huh.
Okay? But now, especially in the dogma world,
uh-huh.
we don't have anything against dogma. We love dogs and cats and rats and all them beasts. But even this dogma position that comes along, all of them are lining up to tell you when the end of time is.
Uh-huh.
You see, the end of days, the apocalypse, and all these different references, and they use words to put it into the notion that you've got to turn or burn.
Uh-huh.
And if you read what the words, now we're referring to scriptures because that's the way this all kind of gets twisted up mostly. If you read the words in the scriptures, what the scripture says that there will be a time, that's timing, an experience, when time on earth shall be no more.
Okay.
And we say, exactly.
Uh-huh.
Well, they all think that the grim reapers coming for the rapture to come haul the faithful ones off to some inky, misty darkness where they can walk the streets of gold.
Uh-huh.
Well, but it's not what it says at all. Okay? And if you're going to take that and put it into your belief system, now that's where words take on a whole new revelation.
Uh-huh.
Or, yes, you would say a revelatory value. Because each word placement, the holder of its part of speech, is what vacillates toward the flowing conceptual ideology of themes.
Yeah.
Now, Bob would say memes, but that's okay, because memes are what they judge the theme of the ideology regarding.
Uh-huh.
So, now, you have this stance where you're trying to explain time. Now, we know timing. Musical values, comedians say timing is everything. Timing is just that co-creating hookup with you and you to the point where it makes logical, perfect sense. And then also, the validation of that is that other human creators get it too. Or I guess we would say also. Now, once you come to that place, you can embrace that because you have time and time and time and time again experienced it. That's not too foreign. But when you start saying that there is no time, then you start having to go, well, how can I tell when the future is my experience?
Mm-hmm.
Because, see, a future event that's not a new experience isn't. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
A past experience is experience that if you can't remember
mm-hmm.
or to remember again, did not occur.
Mm-hmm.
It's eliminated. Well, and then you turn around and they have history, so you can't fight with history, correct? But every time you turn around, every type of dynamic of a historical event gets undone. Well, if history's so written in stone, who keeps changing the rocks?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, history's not written in stone for me by any means. By
well,
any.
It isn't for the historians either, because otherwise
yeah.
they wouldn't be empirically every single moment of every single day trying to undo the history that they have wrought as true.
So is this something that my being will grow to understand?
Well, it already does, honey, because you wouldn't have the question.
Oh, yeah.
If the question
yeah.
wouldn't come up, you would just leave that one be. You'd leave that one be. But let's develop it just a little bit.
Okay.
And your words can communicate your feelings wrought.
Okay.
Your words can communicate your feelings wrought.
Okay.
You've heard the William Shakespeare rant that we do, to be or not to be, that is the question, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's really not that. It really is to is or not to is.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're going to have it from the dynamic of an isism, all of a sudden that's a whole different conversation. That's a feeling place that's been combined with your congenial thought or point of view that you allow in your middle kingdom to bring forth your position of your now,
mm-hmm.
which is the only only thing that is landing in your middle kingdom. All right? Now, you have your outer kingdom and you have your inner kingdom, and you've played with that a bit, but that has to do with your placement of the Prince of Tides, not the dynamic that you're trying to embrace. Okay. So, when does yesterday come?
Now.
Well, or it's gone.
It's gone.
Yeah, when is yesterday?
Well, where did it go? It's not.
It's gone. It's gone.
Okay.
When does tomorrow get here?
No, never. Yes.
Yeah, it's the holiday that never comes.
Right, right.
Because when you get to tomorrow, it's no longer tomorrow. It's today. You're waiting on tomorrow.
Right.
Well, many people live their lives that way, and they spend their entire creating capacity on planet Earth waiting on the come.
Mm-hmm.
So they never allow it into their experience for now.
Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes they twist it up and they're so worried about being right that they forget about being happy. And you don't care if you're right or not. You just want to be happy. And you
Boy,
get happy enough and right takes care of itself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay, so it was probably in reference to when I heard you say, I forget who I'm talking to here. That, for instance, all I can think of now is Atlantis was the future. And I'm thinking,
yeah.
Well, I don't understand how it's the future if I'm trying to figure out the levels of now.
Oh, okay, that's easy. We've also spoke about Adam.
Yes.
Well, Adam's coming.
And how is it not here now?
Sorry?
How is he not here now? Or is
well,
he here now?
He's not, because most humans aren't in paradise.
Okay, so the collective has to agree, or the human creators have to agree?
No, they do not, and they will not agree. And that's the problem that the printing press sent everybody
right.
in a little twirl regarding. Because
right.
now, if the Post says that it has to be, well, now human creators are tweeting and doing all their little OMGs and all over the place that they don't know real from reality.
Mm-hmm.
That's the interesting, real from reality. I mean, they even have the dialectic that they have a problem with mayonnaise. So much so that mayonnaise has to be real as opposed to unreal mayonnaise.
Oh, right. Oh, my gosh. I had never thought of that one. Okay.
Well, of course, but it's the same words that you're trying to find the perfect collaboration regarding to speak your will.
I was looking at understand today and thinking of standing under it and then becoming, and what you're really doing is coming to be. My head is all over the place.
Now let's have some fun now. What about what about overstated?
Oh, yeah.
Don't forget our favorite, interesting.
Ooh. Is it internesting?
Interesting.
Interesting.
Yes.
Oh,
interest.
Yes. Okay. Well, so when these words were created by us, by me, the creator, by is that created?
Yeah.
That's another question. This is my biggest one. And I'm jumping all over here.
You're fine, honey, because when you listen back a minute ago, that's the most cohesive, flowing conversation I've ever had in my life, and it's perfect. It's not a problem. You're
okay.
fine, honey.
Okay, who created the God?
God.
And is God the is that is experiencing itself through humanity who is also God?
No. Not humanity. You individually.
Okay. Yes.
There's not a collective God. Now, there is one non-physical that all the gods share, but that's just little old non-physical. Don't mind us. We can't even create.
But something created you? Something created some...
You did. You phase eight. Yes, that's how we explain life as we know it.
Okay.
Two wire whisk, holding one to the left and one to the right, making the physics symbol for infinity.
Yes, as in Jane's T-shirt that I'm reproducing. Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Reproducing, that's so fun.
Producing again, producing
yes.
from when it became.
you are a tricky one, aren't you?
this time I play with time like a ball in my hand. I just love it.
You should.
I love it, love it,
now,
love it.
Let's amp it up a little bit.
Okay.
You're ready. Here
I'm ready.
Okay. Now, fasten your seatbelts and always be mindful of the emergency exits because you want to send us. You can make a time ball. You can make an energy ball within your hands. Do you know a ball of twine that maybe you'd fix for your cat to sort of wrap around with and play when they don't have real live mice and nieces to be dabbling with? Well, you can have a ball of twine. Well, you can hold your hands like you were holding onto a crystal ball or some spherical object that would be round in nature. And like if you were holding it, and you can focus your energy because it makes a chain within your energy flow, which for you, by the way, you're very, very, very open. What that means is that you are well grounded and connected. And that makes for a perfect conductor for energy.
Okay.
And the proof of that is, have you ever noticed that when you go to touch something that you seem to be more easily staticky than other humans?
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, like on a cold day and you touch a car and it'll knock you down?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of business?
Right.
Well, that's just naturally your way.
Okay.
Because of that, then you can very easily, in your mind, focus with your hands wrapped around this ball, and you can make it as big or as small as you like, but you'd want a pretty good medium size, bigger than a softball, energy ball. And you can hold your hands to the left and right and focus it and spin, kind of move your hands about it and make it, it'll almost be in the field. Like if you had a real ball, you couldn't go beyond the force field of that ball that would be in your hands.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then you can focus your energies, and you'll notice that this glowing light starts happening within the confines of your hands.
Mm.
An energy ball is what it actually is.
Ooh.
And you can play with that. Now, if you're going to get in your jammies or something very, very comfortable, doesn't have to be chenille, but something warm and comfy, okay? You know, this isn't your sexy silks. This is your broken flannel.
Okay.
Okay, something comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And get in a nice warm chair or in a comfortable place where you have nothing binding on your physical physique.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't get yourself contorted. Get where you're comfortable because everybody has that more comfortable position. And then look at your hands, put them together, and sort of wrap it around it, wrap it around it. And don't be in a super bright lit room in the very beginning until you get comfortable with this process. Because we're telling you how to do it, and we're telling you what to do, but we don't want to make it hard. We want to make it simple and easy. You know, like the things that glow in the dark?
Mm-hmm.
If you put them out in the sunshine, they're still glowing in the dark, but you can't see them.
Yes.
This way, be in a dim, you know, cozy atmosphere where anything that's sparking or arcing within your fingers around this ball, this energy ball, you'll be able to notice and see. So much so that your relaxed rods and cones in your eyes will allow your optic nerve to pick it up and allow the labyrinth of your mind to lay conduit into a place where you can allow this to come into your experience.
Mm.
Now, once you get to playing with that, then what happens is you develop this little ball, this little circle of energy. Okay?
Uh-huh.
Now, this little flow of energy, you're going like, great, thanks, Ion. That's a really great parlor trick. I'll go to Vegas and do the tour. It'll be great fun. A good time will be had by they can circle, run around you, just like the cat and mouse scenario, and you can chase that energy right around.
Yeehaw.
You can see it from your outside body within your inside dynamic. Do you know when you get excited about something, when you know there's a concept or an ideology that you've embraced that sort of made the light switch go away and made it become a dark switch?
Mm-hmm.
That you could then control the dynamic of the verb tenses, that you sojourn to the dynamic of your understanding.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And see, whether you or not you get it, that doesn't have anything to do with your business. Everybody else has got to get it or it ain't worth nothing.
But I don't require everyone else to get it.
Well, but yeah, they do.
Okay.
Well, now, wait a minute now. Do they or don't they?
That's a good question. Do they or don't they? It's up to their creation, isn't it?
Well, yes, indeed. But when you're looking at your level of validation for mm-hmm. your own creations, how do other people see your work?
That's a really good point. That might lead me to my next question. But
okay. Well, leave the energy ball there. And
okay.
Now, we told you how to do it. Now, what's it for?
Increase my okay, I have two images. One is, it's almost a portal to entering some other electromagnetic fields that I could reach or being able
yes,
to
that is
transport?
Exactly right. That's exactly
okay.
Right. And here's what that means.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand that the language that you're trying to use would be worthless without vowels?
Oh, okay.
Well, no, is it?
No, I don't understand that.
How do you write without vowels?
Well, if I was Russian, could they have vowels?
Yes, they do have vowels.
I need vowels.
Yes, that's exactly the best way to say that. Just like a good brioche that you are needing, you need vowels.
Okay.
In your energy ball, you can allow vowels to rise.
Oh. Do they have something to do with connecting points?
They do.
Okay.
They do. You hadn't heard this on a cash flow, have you?
No. I don't know.
But see, you had to get through all the rote stuff to get to the good stuff. Because otherwise, you'd have to lay foundations to make a linear path that you could follow. Because if you don't have a linear path, you can't get to where you want to be because you don't know where you were to get to where you want to be to get to know how you were to want to be to wait a minute. Here we go.
Lost the
translation. There you go. Now, your little energy ball now can be used to activate your vowels in the archetypal mean. It's what James Joyce tried to do all the days of his life miserably. It's what Lewis Carroll was trying to lay out in every work. It's what Marshall McLuhan was trying to bring back, that how nonsensical the senseless sense of nonsensicality applied liberally was to be validated, a point or a concept that had to be embraced.
Mm-hmm.
So now you use your pea pod and your looky box and all of Bob's five bastard babies, the five bodies, to explain the participation of the human creator within the chemical body, the astral body, the mystery landscape, the chemical body, and there's another one. And it comes into the chip body.
Mm-hmm.
Now, none of those different bodies, they all work independently, but none of them are worth a crap until you apply them into the relegated information. ocean communication capacitor.
Okay.
That was a little bit extreme, but we'll bring it back. We'll bring you back home with it, with a coda, we promise.
Okay.
But the point is that you're bringing things to the surface that have never been brought before. And this is probably the fifth or sixth different thing in the first few seconds that have just bammed right to the leading edge of creation. And that's delicious. And the only way you can walk in the door in the leading edge of creation is to really, 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 no really, mean no really, mean really, 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 be on the position where you're really happy. Joy is not your goal. Joy is your address.
Yes.
And that shows up clearly. You come to the place where you don't even care if people love you or not, because you're so busy pleasing and delighting yourself that everyone just can't seem to keep their hands off you. Because you're already happy.
Mm-hmm.
And that happiness exudes happiness.
Mm-hmm.
You don't run around all day, every day, asking people how they are because, frankly, you don't really care.
Oh, you hit that one right on the head.
Yeah, you don't care. And you still love everybody, and everybody loves you.
Immensely.
And they have communication. They seek your guidance. They seek your counsel. You help any way you can. Or you smile and say, honey, that's just not my job. I don't know, but if I was in this situation, I'd probably do that. But I'm not saying that's what you to do, but that's the best I can give you here.
Mm-hmm.
See, because I never got in your mess anyway.
Mm-hmm.
The first time. So that healthy collective understanding that's working for you now, don't change a thing, even if we told you to. Say, non-physical, I don't give a dog what you say. I'm going to do what I know.
Mm-hmm.
That's what deists do.
Okay.
Good.
Okay.
Okay. Now you've really gone to subsoiling now. So has that adjusted your questioning just a bit, or have you realized that what you're working on will change the, if not the whole world, at the very least your world?
Yes, and I appreciate that.
Okay.
That assistance, that
tale of tea.
Yeah, that's a very loving space. Okay. Has it changed my questions?
No. Well, what's your next question?
I know. I'm looking. I have never written anything down in my life. Maybe I'll go back to not having written it, but let's see.
Yeah, okay, because it's recorded, so you get to beat it to death again, so it's all fun. I mean, it is great fun, because, hey, your best work is from a rough draft anyway.
Yes, that is absolutely for sure. Okay.
Because when you go back and start looking at the dynamics and the verb tenses and what the synaptic versions were regarding,
mm-hmm.
you lose the dynamic of what you were actually trying to say.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I can remember telling my children before I even understood any of this, if you want to make yourself unhappy, think about the past or look to the future.
Exactly right. Exactly
and they,
correct.
They have embraced everything in their own little way. Okay.
Tell me what you think of diagramming.
What I think of diagramming?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the minute you say it, I think of pictures.
Yes, that's what your words do.
And I am very aware when you were talking about the ball of energy, I'm doing it right now with my hand. When I realized I didn't think linearly anymore at all, never did, I started describing it as being a holographic thought, but it's
multidimensional. Mm-hmm. Rather than holograph, let's use multidimensional.
Okay.
Because the words mean different things at different layers.
Mm-hmm.
You see, things are different layers.
And here's one behind the word, because of course you're going to have many languages and many different dialects and many different ways that different beings explain something in their verbiage.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really, it's not really the word per se.
So would that be known as a verbal concept?
Proverbial?
No. Verbal, not proverbial.
Okay. Verbal concept. Okay.
Play with it. You'll have great fun with it.
Okay. It's dancing around. Okay. Okay. I had a couple of physical things, which are from a different place than I would. Let's see. I won't even qualify like that.
That's right. Go with it.
I noticed, as I think I've heard Bob say about 5 dog years ago, I moved from one area to another in the country, and I felt a distinct line down the center of my body. I have no idea what it was about. I just felt it. I felt it for 5 years. In the last couple of months, it's moved over to the left, and now I feel it going down my eye, on my left eye, straight down my body, and I was just curious as to what energetic it was exposing to me.
It's the rebalance of between you and you. The distance between you and you has shifted. And it's not really one line on your left side. It's the orbital lobe of your pi r square formula for the radius of a circle.
Okay.
The distance between it. All you're doing is you're actually forming your sphere into, the best way to describe it is, a perfectly divided dodecahedron.
Okay.
Well, center of a dodecahedron, as you well know, will take it to its left third.
Oh.
See? So you're not shifting, you're just laying out the linear aspect of a dodecahedron.
So I'm aligning to that, or I'm, okay.
You're creating it. And then you become multi-angled, multi-dimensioned, where you won't be locked into, the only thing you can do is what you do. Now, the only thing you're limited by is what you don't allow.
Yes.
That's different.
Yes. And
that shift and change is naturally occurring, and you didn't know, and you didn't care, and it didn't move you, and it was perfectly fine, and you were so happy you didn't really notice, and then when you did notice, you were like, this isn't even odd, or queer, or askew, or less than, it's just something I noticed.
Mm-hmm.
So you've been tissing with it for a while,
yep.
That you became noteworthy.
Oh, I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Love that. Okay, here's another experience on the physical side. I, not very long ago, whatever day it was, who knows, but recently, when I close my eyes, I can see through my eyelids. I can often see the room I'm in. It doesn't matter.
Of course.
And
see things that aren't there.
Right. Or are there? Or aren't there? Are there? I wasn't I don't know if I was asleep or not. I was in some sort of sleep. Okay. I wasn't asleep. I saw the image of a man. I could tell you what he was wearing. Walking through our sliding glass door. He literally opened it. Didn't have a face.
Well, he did have a face. You just couldn't pick out
I couldn't see his face. Didn't notice his face.
But he had a face. He had a shape of a face. You just couldn't see any nose or eyes or eyebrows.
Correct.
Or cheeks or facial hair or no facial hair. And
correct.
It was a shadow of ears, but you couldn't tell what the ears looked like.
He did have dark hair. Yeah. Other than that, then I literally had an electric hit in my body that woke me up. Really woke me up. Like,
sure.
Bolt up. And it felt like, and I know when this was. It was on the heels. This was kind of an important piece, maybe. It was on the heels of listening to one of your interviews with James that talked about what if you had people in other dimensions, had parts of you in other dimensions that you could call on when you needed to replace an organ or something like this. I remember thinking, and I thought, oh, this person's here to rejuvenate something.
Sure.
Okay.
And that's exactly right. And guess what it brought to you?
What?
Well, now, if experience in your now that validated your basic understanding of dimensionality.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't say dementia, we said dimensionality.
And you did say basic, and I understand it is basic.
It is basic.
Happiness.
And once you play with it a little bit, I think I know, will mm-hmm. kick in, and then, you know, you'll be writing about it. That's wonderful. Tear it up. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got to realize that your work will only be successful if you're speaking to nobody.
Your work will only be successful if you're speaking to nobody. I'm almost isolated these days, in contrast to what I was while I was going through my highest contrast.
But see, New York Times bestsellers are only the ones that aren't saying anything.
But that was really profound.
It is profound.
Good.
It is profound because if the whole wide world is gobbling it up, mm-hmm. it's not worth digesting.
I've looked at that from many sides. Or both sides now. I love that.
Mm-hmm. So if you want to do it that way, that's perfectly fine. Then just you understand every conversation is two conversations.
Okay.
Okay. You can write a book about orgasms.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And go into every detail and every dynamic. It's a physical thing that humans create and have and enjoy and draw to them. And the dynamics thereof and every detail regarding it. And you could make Miss Collins blush discussing it, okay? But that's one dynamic. Now, the other dynamic is explaining orgasms to second graders.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's a different work.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and if you're gonna cap bestsellers, you'll find that most of your audience is in the capacity of second grade.
Mm-hmm.
And you can prove that by looking at what's on the bestseller list.
Oh.
I mean, most of that drivel you wouldn't read.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so much so that you may pick up a copy and engage it to see what it is that they know that you don't know. What magic have they ushered from the ethers to engage the whole wide world, to move them to, with compassion, to lay their money checks down for this little stack of paper?
Mm-hmm.
You see? I mean, there wasn't very much in going rogue.
Mm-hmm.
By the way.
Yeah, the attention. Okay.
Okay, and it's quantitative. But now what you're talking about is a different, because that's not the driving, that is in the vehicle, but that's not the driving that we're discussing. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to do that, do it from a dual standpoint. You know how to use double negatives? You don't, but you know how to.
Okay.
Well, no, we didn't get a yes or a
well,
no.
Well, yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
But you don't use them.
No, I don't. That's
never. I mean,
right.
Taboo. I mean, it's just taboo. We in our world don't like contractions, but normal readers require them now.
Okay, I get that.
And we don't like it because it's not proper. That's for memos. That's not for written English. Okay? But that's just how it flows. But that's okay. You've got to be able to divide your work. Okay? This one is for money checks, and this is the truth.
Okay. Boy, you hit that one on the head. That was where I was headed with my belief in...
Yeah.
I think you answered my question that I never asked you, which
was... Yeah, of course, we do that.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
It's easy. And do it that way. And then you don't... Because you'll never do it. Because you won't allow it. But if you understand that there's already duality, and the duality is not a problem, you can explain to a second grader about an orgasm.
Mm-hmm.
And they can understand it. They may go, ooh, but you can soften it up to where they could go, oh, so that's what all that is. I thought Mommy and Daddy were fighting.
Mm-hmm.
It sounded horrible. I didn't know what was going on here. Well, you can explain it in such a way that they get it, and then just throw that right in the New York Times bestseller list, and Amazon.com will be sending you flowers and chocolates and all those things, and Kindle will put in for your adoption and all those kind of fun dynamics that are, and that's great. But then, do the real work.
Mm-hmm.
Speak your words. Line it up. Line it up. Do it the way you know it's supposed to be. And do it because you don't care if anybody buys it or not. You don't care if anybody looks at it or not. It doesn't make any difference to you. But the confidence that you lay out,
mm-hmm.
is what the world is trying to understand.
Mm.
You see? But they have to validate you as a wonderful author before your words achieve a dialectic. That's why they call it a dialect.
Mm-hmm.
Two sides.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
No. Uh-huh.
Nobody ever said that before, but that's...
No, it's kind of the round picture. It's
exactly.
The round picture.
Exactly. Yeah. So then your work can validate itself, because then you'll know it's the way you want it. But then you can also have the version, and if you say, well, I'm explaining this to two-year-olds, you know, or 8-year-olds or something to that degree, it's understood and understandable that you're not withholding information. You're just not going to answer this point further questions that haven't been asked.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's all about. A boot.
That's good. That gives me the impetus to then go that direction as well as the other. Thank you.
Exactly, because they're there, but then they look at your work, and then they're judging your work based on what they know is to be wonderful and go, this is fabulous. It'll never be published. It's fabulous. We love it. The thought, the ideas, the methodology that you've embraced is just stunning. Your prowess is just incomprehensible. It's delicious. And it'll never be published.
Mm-hmm.
You see? So, there you go. But if you go the Laurel Hardy version, then everybody goes, this is great. I don't know what it means, but it's so funny. This is so great. The meaning of words.
Mm-hmm.
The words of meaning.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure it will come to me as what objects to offer in each arena.
Well, yeah, just play.
Sorry, yeah.
Just play with it. Just play with it. Just get you some cocktail napkins and start making notes. Your one line, what you call your one liner, your zingers, as you'd say them. You just stack up your zingers and you'll do fine. Quips and quotes for equality.
Okay. All right. Well, okay. Here's a third physical question is,
right.
Am I creating a larger physical body to contain how big I feel?
No. No, that is to ground you.
That was my next question. Or is it to ground me? Okay.
Yeah, it's to ground you. Because,
okay.
And it's not required. It's not required.
Mm-hmm.
But it is to ground you.
Okay.
And when the reason it is because gravity's changing.
Oh, well, I keep talking about teleportation and about,
yeah.
I fly all the time.
You do?
Yes, and being able to go from one point to another without, we're actually, I'm even starting to create it on a let's go that's here and we fly on an airplane that day.
Uh-huh.
Type thing. But I would just as easily be happy to teleport.
Sure. And you can do that within this world, within the kingdoms, and you can also do it to other worlds.
Mm-hmm.
There is,
yes.
Available as any. But now, are you asking the question about your groundedness? Is it happy already anyway? Do you want it to be different? Do you want it to be more? Do you want it to be less? What's your question regarding it? Now, we answered the question, but now what prompted such a question?
The question is twofold. One is, I'll just phrase it this way. I don't feel like I'm in my body very often.
That's correct. That's true.
And the other one is my body is much larger than I've ever had it. And I'm not really unhappy with it. So I guess I'm...
But you're arguing for the limitation. That's why we ask.
Yes.
That's why we ask.
Right.
You understand if you could let go of the issue that it's a problem that you're mm-hmm. not using your body much, then it would correct if there's something wrong. We're not saying anything is wrong. We're saying it's perfect just as it is. But if you want it different, okay, if it's different would be pleasing for you, let's say, okay, let's do it this way. Let's say your body's perfect just exactly like it is, but sometimes you find you have a little contrast in your knees. And it's not earth-shattering, and you're not on a sack full of pills, and it's not about that. It's just that sometimes your knees get tired faster than you think they should. Okay? Or maybe your ankles or something. And you notice that, but you don't let it drive your world. You just know when that is, and you don't go, you know, climbing on the roof to see if that's what the problem is or not. All right? So let's say that you're having something in your physical body telling you that there's a bit of contrast regarding a joint or a pain or a something. Well, that's not bad. That's not a problem. It's just letting you know that something's going on. No different than you've heard us talk about knocking your toe off, getting up to go to the bathroom in the night, and you stump your toe on something and might have an expletive to go along with it. Well, that's not bad. That's just letting you know you got a big toe. You see, that's a good day. Well, if something in your body you'd like to address from a balance standpoint or going at it from an angle, then the feeling place is finding the joy within your beingness that allows you to take whatever form or shape that is delicious to you. And what that means is, now we're not talking about these anorexic models, okay? I mean, we're.
I love your description of that.
Well, because that's not normal. They're not beautiful women. They're clothes hangers.
Yeah.
And the designers like that. But but we with great confidence want to tell you that the human male does not want to sleep with a sack full of bones. They just don't. I mean, they just don't. They just don't. So when you start removing these other dynamics, all of a sudden it makes no sense, very nonsensical, not to be the shape that whatever shape you are. As long as your meat sack, the one that you're using or not using very much, is aligned with this program. Okay? For example, we'll use the male side of this to describe it so it won't be any other dynamic because that way you can get it. They call it a swimmer's build. Okay? The reason they call it is because if they're a swimmer, they don't need to be 416.5 pounds. You see? They're actually better off as the beanpole kind of thing, because that glides more easily through the water. We're not even talking about strength, because strength has very little or nothing to do with it. It has to do with flow of agility. But now if you're going to be a lumberjack, you might better be sort of broad across the shoulders. Now, you can have a 30-inch waist and a 50-inch chest, and that still be in what you call shape. It has to do with what the tactility that you're engaging in your physical meat sack body. You see?
Yeah.
So, now, see, isn't it easier when we're using the male form, because then it doesn't, then all those words don't matter. But it's the point is that those contrasts are necessarily appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
You see? Baseball players and football players, if you look at them buck naked, they have a different physique.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And you can't, and if you're 280 pounds, 6'6", and a fullback for the Dallas Cowboys, you don't want a girlish figure.
Right. Part of it was because I felt I was in a foreign, am in a foreign body.
You are, but we don't want it to be foreign. That's
right. Right.
We don't want it to be foreign. And that shift to your left, mm-hmm. lining up with your eye, is your body's way. Because
yes.
See, the left side affects the right side of the labyrinth of your mind.
Okay.
Okay. So that's telling you that you're ready to line that up to make the other line through the other eye, which will be the first division of the set points of your dodecahedron.
Oh, okay.
What we're trying to get you to get to is that you have a meat sack and it's perfect. You have a non-physical and it's perfect. And if you could just convince the labyrinth of your mind that they are one and together and the same, when you're going all over the place, all of these places, you can take your meat sack body with you everywhere you go.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're going to want a different aspect. And that's what you're asking about. So we say, embrace it. And if something shows up in your physical meat sack body, address it. But typically what you do and like to do is dismiss it, and then it's not no longer an issue. If you have a little family pain, you go, oh, well, that's just a thing, and then it goes away.
Yes.
Well,
and you're saying address it, don't you?
Address it to the point that you can focus on it a bit to find out what it is that your meat sack's trying to tell you that your non-physical is saying it's okay, because it is okay.
Okay.
But that balance will put you in a specific size.
Okay.
And you won't do a thing. And we say then immediately now, once you get that working for you,
mm-hmm.
find something that you really, really, really enjoy and embrace it.
Okay, I get that. Thank you.
Again, if that's chocolate cake, honey, have a whole one.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
no different. Eat it all. Eat every dab of it. You see? And
yeah.
if it was alcohol, we'd say, get you some brown party liquor. And go at it. Because what happens is then your body realizes how valid it is in its desire state. And then what happens is your body corrects itself naturally. The same way you crave something salty,
mm-hmm.
then you crave something sweet, then you crave something starchy, then you crave something protein, and you crave different things. You see?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what makes you wake up one day and say, let's eat an avocado?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he didn't even like avocados until he found out they were very fattening. And then he just loves them. That's his most favorite, you see. But now, he's gone through a transformation as well because he went to eating.
Oh.
There is no telling how much he eats now. It's mind-blowing. And he's lost 83 pounds.
Oh, my gosh.
And eats like you have never seen in your life. And anything he puts in his mouth, if it's not the most best delicious thing he's ever tasted, ever, 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 he'll spit it out.
Aha. Uh-huh.
I mean,
okay.
It's got to be cow butter, heavy whipping cream, gravies, with a side of Baby Ruth's and bechamel sauces and pate choux and creme brulees and the more exotic the better. And that's all he allows. He will not allow anything else. And if he eats meat, it might be an entire Chateaubriand at one sitting.
Mm.
And he enjoys that. Because before, he was always so persnickety about it that it actually made his body heavier because he was watching his caloric intake.
Or not aligned with what he was taking in? Not aligned?
Correct. Some people can drink a glass of water and gain 5 pounds. And some people can eat a 5 pounds, a quarter pounders and lose weight.
I know. I've heard you talk to Dr. Carolyn about it being metabolism, and I've always thought it's my belief system or my
What do you think drives your metabolism?
Belief system.
And the joy. See, people used to think, they got it all tangled up. They used to say that you should eat to live instead of living to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And we say, well, crap, who wants that? I mean, think about that. The food is delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Then the next thing they know, they'll be saying, now all you human creators only participate in low-fat sex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm with you. I feel like anything they put over the airwaves, it's always something new, and it's saying what the last thing was isn't true anymore.
Ta-da.
So coffee's good, coffee's bad. Eggs are good, eggs are bad. So that long ago, I was like, bad, good doesn't exist.
Exactly correct.
They want it.
Good.
Yes.
If all things
good.
Work together for good,
mm-hmm.
then the good's good and the bad's good. And it's all good.
It still doesn't have to look like anything to anyone but me because it's my own little world.
That's exactly correct. But now we're addressing this from the standpoint of your asking.
Yes.
Because you're already perfect.
Yes.
But if you're wanting it different,
mm-hmm.
then just the way you got it perfect the first time, now you know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So as you embrace that whole process, then what you'll find in a very short window of time, and we mean time as in timing,
mm-hmm.
you'll notice your body starts responding.
Okay.
And you'll notice the change, and you won't care.
Mm-hmm.
You see? And KW didn't even know he was losing any weight because his wife, of course, would keep the clothes to be wherever they are, and then she'd never say anything. And he was dropping sizes left and right and never noticed it because she kept replacing it with smaller pants.
And she knows how to relax and allow?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And even knows what the words really mean.
Yeah.
Most people don't. We use it.
Yeah.
People get weary with it. We go, okay, you really are tired of it? Great. Now we'll tell you what relax means and what allow means. And then all of a sudden they went, no, that's not at all what I thought it was. And we're going, exactly. That's the point. On our website, we have A Lover Who Loves, The Ultimate Goal. And it
mm-hmm.
took approximately 9 months to figure out for somebody to ask what love is.
Mm-hmm.
And that was day one.
And
it took 9 months for somebody to ask, what is love?
Wow.
In fact, I think it was a Tina Turner reference of what's love got to do with it. It was like, exactly, what is love? Then all of a sudden they were like, oh, well, that's very different now, you see. Because the syntax of the expression has
mm-hmm.
much more to do than the synchronicity of the voluminous words to describe the aspect of the engagement of the reality.
Oh, so the syntax, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's an awesome.
That's why you can say to human creators, OMG, what's the BFD, and they know exactly what you mean.
Mm-hmm. Well,
not very proper or kind or genteel, but they know what it means.
Well, that's my feeling about symbols and gestures. That's why it feels like, I looked at autism, and it feels like a new way of communicating, and I looked at all the way we communicate without words is so powerful.
Well, exactly right. Even the way, even the inflection you give to the words.
Mm-hmm.
I think I know.
Mm-hmm.
I think I know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think I know. I think I know. See what I'm saying? We said it just three or four different ways, and every single one of them had a completely different degree or level of tactility.
Mm-hmm. And as you said it, you know what it looked like is was like a radio band frequency, and the top one was bouncing way up and down, and the bottom one was just kind of straight across.
Okay. Now, exactly. Now, that's frequency.
Mm-hmm.
That bandwidth that you're speaking of, that's frequency.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're trying to align.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of the day, there's only one goal. There's only one word. You have a non-physical. You have a physical. You have a mind, or a labyrinth of the mind. And all we're trying to get you to even embrace is that all those could work together as one. And when they do, your body will respond to your desire. Your non-physical will provide everything the moment that you think of it, instantaneously. And the labyrinth of your mind will no longer become a labyrinth. Because, see, even though it's still a labyrinth, if you're elevated above it, you can see like the rat running through the maze to get to the cheese. If you could be elevated to a point that you could see over the labyrinth to see how many lefts and how many rights you had to make to get to the cheese,
mm-hmm.
it wouldn't be very much of a labyrinth, would it?
Mm-mm.
You see? And it's just that jumpability.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all we're talking about. Then every thought, every idea, every concept or work that you have, just a fleeting thought regarding, is completely and fully developed.
Mm-hmm.
Bam.
Yeah.
Bam. There it is. Bam. You don't even have to be Emeril Lagasse. Bam. There it is. Bam.
That's what I heard when you said that.
Bob's rolling about. He says, "Who is Emeril Lagasse?" He's a Cajun cook, Bob, from Nolens.
Said in the true Nolens fashion.
Indeed.
Oh, okay. So I have.
Throw me something, mister.
So I have two people that have transitioned that were pivotal. Well, they're more than two, but
yeah.
One girl who when she transitioned, I knew her better after she transitioned than she did before, than I did before.
Yep.
And she was pivotal,
right.
Born on 3-3, which made me think of Bob with his 2-2 when I heard him saying all that stuff. And I saw 3-3s for probably the next 5 years of my life everywhere I went. And I guess if I need to frame it in a question.
Just like Jeopardy.
Actually, how do I say I thank you? How do I say thank you to Julie? Thank you.
Well, you did.
Okay.
You did. Now, you qualified. Now, here's what do you mean? You're sharing appreciation. What do you appreciate about Julie? That's how you do it.
That's, what do I appreciate? Yes, okay. Well, I'm not going to frame it in that question. Am I going to tell you?
No.
No, you don't have to do either.
We're just saying instead, thank you is great. But
yes.
But see, here's what happens.
I see what you mean. What do I appreciate? Yes.
Yeah. Because non-physical doesn't respond to thank you.
Right.
It responds to appreciation. And what you're going to find, and you already know this because you're one of the few enlightened ones that understands the difference thereof between a phrase and phraseology.
Mm-hmm.
Your non-physical only responds to nouns.
Mm-hmm.
I want more.
Right.
It responds to the object, more. I do not want any more. Your non-physical responds to the object, more.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't get the negative.
Right.
And so, however, I appreciate you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Julie, I appreciate you. Well, you is what non-physical picks up on,
mm-hmm.
okay? Julie, I do not appreciate that. Well, that object becomes what becomes the attention. You see? So when you use it that way, that's how humans sometimes get crossways of themselves.
And what about the intention behind what you said, even
though
you didn't say it?
Not one flipping thing to do with non-physical. Here's why. In Julie, in non-physical, completely, as in a transitioned human creator, no longer creates. So it's a contrastless reality. You don't create once you transition.
Sure, so there's no intention.
So So there's no contrast.
Right.
So you've got to be specific. Now there is residue. She comes to see you.
And there is communication, but it doesn't have to. But it's from a place that's neutral to both places.
No, doesn't have to be.
Okay.
Doesn't have to be. People, human creators will tell you they've been to haunted houses.
Okay.
Well, you couldn't prove it different. They'd fight you. You see? And you can be to or have anything you want to be to or have. The residue of the spirit man sticks around.
Mm-hmm. Is that a frequency?
It's a dynamic of a frequency.
Okay.
We wouldn't give it a whole lot of attention because then you spend the rest of your day sieving out the good frequencies from the not good frequencies, and then that just tangles you up even more. It is what it is.
Okay.
And that's okay. But like the residue, just like you could smell your mother's perfume.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay.
Been places and you could go, wow. Mm-hmm. Or you can go even to your grandmother's side and go to the tea rose. And when you smell tea rose, you think of her.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what she wore, by the way.
Well, actually, my grandmother put her hands on me during a massage. That was an interesting one. That was my other first brand new experience with.
Yeah, you knew it was her. And you knew, yeah. And you knew it was her because of the smell, the sensation. That's how you knew it was her.
Uh-huh. And the massage therapist telling me.
Well,
grandmother at your head? Well, yeah, you're right. I felt it.
Because that wouldn't have worked. Because then that's saying that your acupuncturist or your massage therapist is a more powerful creator than you are.
No, I didn't feel that way. I felt that's
exactly.
an awareness.
You felt it as a confirmation.
Okay. Yes.
And the confirmation is wonderful and fine. But because your massage therapist told you that and $8 will get you double mocha latte at Starbucks.
I had no idea she had that capability.
Well, exactly.
And one more person said,
yes.
Because this to me is like recognizing celebrities in a way, but part of me, my dad died 6 months ago, and I had the delightful, delicious experience of being with him and felt him go through my body when he left, like a thousand electrical things. And I have such ease with transition, believing, knowing that there is no death, that I guess I would just say, is there any purpose in, or is there anything he'd like to tell me?
You don't have to go.
Okay.
You do not have to go.
I believe that, too.
You don't have to go. The only reason I went is because I'd done what I wanted to do.
Is this one of the first times, and I don't know how, because the word time is in it, one of the first spaces that human creators have had the opportunity to stay in their meat sack?
No, some have done it forever.
Well, that's true. I knew that. There are people who are still here.
They are. But here's what's happening. If you look up the word apocalypse, everybody's talking about it. Everybody's talking about the apocalypse. Do you know what the word apocalypse means?
I don't.
It means thinning of the veil.
Oh.
Look it up in your world. Don't believe non-physical now. We just non-physical. Don't mind us.
Okay.
But if you look it up in your word, either Noah Webster, he's our favorite, the lexicographer, or some prefer Miriam, it's okay, that's fine, just a good lexicographer. Look up those words, so it gives words meaning of what the meaning of the words are, the meaning of the words are, that mean the words that are, the meaning. Oh, wait, we're lost now. Anyhow, the words have definitions. The defining moment for this word combination is we need those vowels into place of conformity. Then what happens is you realize that that's the thinning of the And that separatism is what drove Peter into his position of starting this dogma that made every human creator less than.
Okay.
That's the problem.
Ion, you're going to maybe go into something. It's been an hour and 15 minutes. Yeah, do you want to have just 1 hour or do you want to do a second hour?
Well, no,